Welcome to episode 51 of Paper Talk, a monthly series of podcast interviews featuring artists and professionals who are working in the field of hand papermaking and paper art. I'm Helen Hebert, and I run Helen Hebert Studio, a hand papermaking studio in Colorado's Rocky Mountains, where I create artist books and installations. I also write a weekly blog called The Sunday Paper, featuring stories of people doing exciting, innovative, and beautiful things with paper. Sign up at helenhebertstudio.com/blog. I'm also creating a lot of content over here, and the best way to stay up to date is to join my e-newsletter list to learn about my online classes, workshops, how-to books, and the annual Redcliffe Paper Retreat, and my new papermaking masterclass, which take place right here at Helen Hebert Studio. You can sign up at helenhebertstudio.com. Today I'm talking with Jean-Paul Lecomte, who runs the popular website bestpopupbooks.com with his girlfriend Denise in the Netherlands. We talk about the purchase of a copy of Robert Sobuda's Alice in Wonderland pop-up book several years ago, which led him down the paper engineering rabbit hole.
From that point, I started to make a pop-up every weekend, and I think that's now for 2 years. And studying pop-ups, looking into techniques, watching tutorials, I believe that when you do something a lot and invest a lot of time, be dedicated, you can, doesn't matter if you want to play the guitar or learn how to edit videos, this is the same. So where I am now is I reached that by doing a build every weekend for the last 2 years.
He and Denise realized that people needed to see how pop-up books move in order to make a purchase online. So they started creating videos and posting them on YouTube, filling a niche and creating a community for those who love paper engineering and pop-ups. If you visit bestpopupbooks.com, you will also find interviews with the paper engineers of our times, pop-up tutorials, and so much more. We discuss how the video reviews are produced, how Jean-Paul has approached learning to build and design pop-ups himself, and of course, the type of paper he uses. Enjoy our conversation. Jean-Paul Lecomte from the Netherlands. I'm so excited to finally speak to you. Welcome to Paper Talk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here. So.
Yeah. So it's 10 a.m. here. What time is it there?
It's 6 o'clock.
In the evening.
In the evening, right. There's some time difference, so.
Yeah, I'm glad we could make this work. So, I've been following you for quite a while online, and you and your girlfriend run Best Pop-Up Books. It's a wonderful website full of resources, and I want to hear all about it. But tell me your first experience with a pop-up book.
Oh, well, the first experience I had with a pop-up book was Robert Sobuda's Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And we were looking for a birthday present for my mother, and we were wowed about how beautiful this book was. So we ordered it, and we got it at home. And before we gave it to her, we had a peek ourselves into the book. And from that point, we were pretty amazed about how advanced pop-up books were in this period of time. So we know pop-up books like basic pop-up books for kids, so we had no idea it could be that advanced. So that pretty much started our interest for pop-up books.
When was that? How many years ago?
I think about 4, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay, and so you'd seen children's pop-up books before, but this was just the next level.
Right. The level that you as an adult also can appreciate because it's so complicated. So that's we are both creative and we also like to work with paper, but this was more like an eye opener. And in Holland, in the Netherlands, we don't have these kind of books in our stores.
Ah, okay.
So it's completely new for us. That also motivated us to start Best Pop-Up Books, because we had this idea that if we didn't know about this, many other people also wouldn't know about the beauty of these advanced pop-up books. So that motivated us to make content and share with the world, and hoping other people would be excited too.
Right. So that's interesting. There's still, you can't find pop-up books in stores in the Netherlands?
Yeah, it's we have this thing in bookstores. It's like a copy that everybody can look into, and it's not sealed, so it's open, and you can go through the pages. But a pop-up book is very delicate, it's very fragile. So I think it's a risky product to have in stock for your store or shop. So maybe that's something, or maybe it's also a market that's more United States based and in Eastern countries, and it has to do with publishers. I'm not sure, still not figured out why it's unknown here. Yeah.
Yeah, and so how did you start? So it's bestpopupbooks.com, and everybody has to look at this website. It is a wealth of information, everything you want to know about pop-ups. Yeah.
Well, we started with our first video review of Matthew Reinhardt's Transformers pop-up book. And when we did the video, we got a bit overexcited, and we decided to think of a domain, a web domain, so we could have a website connected to the video. And when you make a video on YouTube, you also need a channel name. And
right.
So we, after a bit of fantasizing and brainstorming, we came out with a name that has had a available domain. So you have to think of a name that's available, and we thought Best Pop-up Books was kind of a nice name to cover what we wanted to do, and it pretty much grew out of our hands. It became much bigger than we intended it to be, but that's how things like this start, I guess. Yeah.
Right. So you first started the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And so Matthew Reinhardt, just for people who don't know, is a well-known paper engineer in the States.
Correct.
And
yes.
So you had a physical copy of his book, Transformers, and you made a video, because video is the way, if you're not going to hold it in person, to show off a pop-up book. Right.
Right, right. And we are the type of customers that would like to see a video review of a product we buy, and it doesn't matter if it's earbuds or a keyboard. But we discovered that on YouTube there were very few videos about pop-up books that really go into detail and pay attention to angles and editing. And so we really wanted to offer this kind of content that people didn't make that much. There are channels, of course, like Upward Paper or the Pop-up Kingdom, but we felt there was a gap to jump in, and that's what we pretty much did. And from the start on, our vision is that people need to see a product before they buy it, and online marketing is really hard for most products, because you can't decide based on the thumbnail if you want to buy it or not. So it was our intention to convince people to buy a pop-up book. That's pretty much how it started. Yeah.
And did you have I think you make a small commission through Amazon and things like that. Did you have like a business plan in mind, or was it more just sharing?
It grew on us. And from the start on, we decided to not use Google ad banners on our website, but we also wanted to cover the cost a bit. So you have hosting costs, and you want to order some books that are advanced to review. And
right.
In the beginning, we didn't get anything for free. That's different now, but we wanted to cover the cost a bit without ugly Google banners. And so one of the best choices out there was the Amazon affiliate program. And that's a part of our commission. Also YouTube advertisements, because we monetize our videos.
Okay.
And that's a bit of extra money, not a total income. So, yeah.
Right. And so you and your girlfriend, Denise, you still have full-time jobs?
Yes, we both both have.
And it's creative? Yeah, what kind?
Yeah, I'm self-employed. I have a design agency, a web design and graphic design agency. And this is what we do in the evening, so to say, or in the weekends. Yeah.
Right.
And it's good to mention Denise, because we all did this together, and it's important. I'm more like the guy who's into the connections of people, and she's more on the background, but also doing very hard work and lots of hours that she spent on it. So good to credit Denise also.
So tell me how So it sounds like one thing led to another. Like, you have everybody on your website now, like all the well-known paper engineers. So how, yeah, just tell me a story about reaching out to some of them or how that kind of evolved.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing also on social media to be connected with people who create the books in our collection. And we're very honored to have big names on a website like Robert Sabuda or Matthew Reinhardt or David Harcock. I can name all the names, but we're really honored. And we're also, every interview, we're really excited to see what answers come back, because it's weird to be the one to ask the questions. So it's like being in the candy store with your idols, you know. That's not the right way to say it, but you'll get my point, I guess. It's really fun.
No, I totally understand, because I write how-to books and I'm always reaching out to people that I want to know more about or I've heard about and asking them, will they contribute a project or can I put a picture of their work in my book? So I totally get that.
Yeah, it's a really small world, but people making these books are for us are really big names. So we're really honored to have these kind of interviews on our website. And we realized those are the people. It's not nice to say what somebody is the best in something, but most of our interviews are really top of the paper engineers out there. So yeah, we're really honored. Motivated also, yeah.
Right. So on the website, you have these video reviews, and you mentioned the interviews. So you interview paper engineers, and tell me what else is on the website.
Well, we've got photo galleries of pop-up books. Mm-hmm. We think it's important to share nice images of pop-up books. We've got interviews, DIY pages, very detailed. Sort of a step-by-step guide how to make a pop-up book,
right,
which pretty much comes out into a very long story with a warning. It's not so easy to make a pop-up book.
Right.
So that's how we start. We have gift guides, season specials. It's like an ode to pop-up books and paper engineers. So every subject that connects to that, it's pretty much on our website. We also have a list of paper engineers and pop-up book creators. You're also mentioned there. It's really complete right now. That's how it feels for us. But we're at the stage to upgrade the quality, like make better pictures, look into the content, and create categories, that kind of stuff. So it's more like behind the scenes stuff that visitors don't see. But it's important to have that. Have that worked out. So
right,
we're really working on quality right now. Yeah.
Right. So sort of going in and fleshing out everything.
Yeah. It's when your website gets bigger, you also see the details you didn't think were important a year ago. They show up when you go through your content. So, and also the gift guides and the season specials, we try to update those too. And we have a section with upcoming pop-up books that needs to be maintained also over time. Every couple of months we update these. So yeah, it's important to have those categories up to date.
Right. Yeah. And so are you in touch with engineers as well as publishers for the video reviews and things like that?
Yes, for sure. Almost like every engineer we're in contact with, but also publishers. But not all publishers, so we don't want to be too involved with the commercial side of it. We also want to be free to pick some titles we want to review, but it's tricky. You need to be sure that everybody likes what you're doing. So
describe one of your pop-up book that you was challenging to take a video of, or
I can name one.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we have these books of Matthew Reinhardt that fold out to a complete map. So like Game of Thrones or Harry Potter. And we had to empty the studio and get a bigger table and a background to capture the whole map folded out. And it's like, I think 2 or 3 square feet or meters.
Oh, wow.
It's big anyway. Yeah. So those kind of things, and also some pop-up books are really interactive, so you have to play with light or with effects. And one of the books I can also mention is this book is a planetarium.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You have to put your phone light inside, and this video review got all kind of shots. They are pretty challenging to make. So we get that. Yes.
Oh yeah. So listeners can go and look at that. Kelly O'Brien is this book is a planetarium.
Kelly Anderson. Yes.
That's what I was going to say, but it yeah. came out different. And then Matthew Reinhardt's Game of Thrones and Harry Potter.
Was a difficult one. Yeah. And one more that's fun to mention. You have The Babadook by Simon Arispe.
Uh-huh.
The Babadook is a horror pop-up book. It goes with the movie. It also plays it's part of the movie, this pop-up book. And there already was a video out there with commentary of a guy reading the text. And he did a really good job. But we also wanted to do our version of this video. So we decided to make some kind of horror edit of this video, and that's that became our weird video.
Oh,
and
cool.
Halloween themed upload. Yeah,
right. Oh, neat. And tell me a little bit, I noticed that you have like a forum, a community aspect to the website.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, the forum, it's a bit of a complicated story, because we believe a community can be very powerful, and also mm-hmm. for people to connect. And right now we do have a Facebook and a YouTube community. Those are our followers who comment to our videos and also discuss with each other about the subjects. But we think that a post on Facebook, they pretty much go down your timeline and disappear.
Right.
And from that perspective, we decided to create a forum community where you can post your collection or your builds as a paper engineer. People can react, but you can also find it back easily, more easily than on your Facebook timeline.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, making a new forum is really difficult, because you start empty and nobody's really interested to jump into an empty forum. So it may take some time, maybe 5 years, but it's all out there and it's functional. So we do have a forum, and we do think a community is important, and mm-hmm. we have those connections, but it takes time to evolve into a useful forum.
Right.
But there's some posts online now, and it's fun, it's nice, and it looks great, but it needs to get a bit adult or grow up
into
a forum.
Right.
Hey, listeners, let's take a little break here, and I want to tell you about The Paper Studio, my free Facebook group that has been evolving over the past several years. I'm re-energizing it in 2020 to include a monthly paper challenge. It's also a place to share what you're working on, get encouragement when you need a little push, be inspired with new ideas, tips, and tricks, all having to do with paper, of course. Join us by going to Facebook and searching for the group, The Paper Studio. Now back to the episode.
I know that you have been exploring making pop-ups yourself now.
Yes.
For several years, and you post elaborate projects that you're doing. When did you start doing that?
I think the first pop-ups I made was about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Those were templates by Sabuda and by Robert Sabuda, Matthew Reinhardt.
Mm-hmm.
And that started more like an interest to see how things work, the basic techniques.
Right.
After that, I was like, okay, fine, nice. But there was no challenge for me into building templates. Not so much as learning how to create stuff you would like to design yourself. So I'm a graphic designer, and I also like to create my own stuff. That's pretty much why I wasn't that much challenged. And I left it behind for a couple of months, maybe a small year. And I found a tutorial of Matthew Reinhardt on YouTube. And Matthew Reinhardt's name comes up a lot, but he's also very a huge inspiration for me, also for Denise, but also for our channel.
Mm-hmm.
But this tutorial, it showed the basic technique of the V-fold, And that's pretty much the technique that everyone starts with, building pop-ups. But he also showed this trick that a V-fold can be stacked on top of a V-fold, and that also can be stacked on top of a V-fold. And So that pretty much grabbed me and challenged me to see, okay, let's see what's possible when you do that. And so suddenly I was challenged to create something for myself. And this, I would almost would like to say, ugly and bad designed swan pop-up came up, and it's on my YouTube channel and Instagram channel.
Okay.
And but I was really excited by it and motivated to continue with learning this kind of way of engineering. So so no more templates, just creating your own pop-up. So this swan pop-up motivated me to develop my skills more. And from that point, I started to make a pop-up every weekend. And I think that's now for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And studying pop-ups, looking into techniques, watching tutorials. And I believe that when you do something a lot and invest a lot of time, be dedicated, you can, it doesn't matter if you want to play the guitar
or
learn how to edit videos. This is the same. So where I am now is pretty much I reached that by doing a build every weekend for the last 2 years.
Ah, that's cool. So every weekend. So do you have like a, do you just kind of move along, or do you have a plan? Like, I'm going to do this, and then next weekend I'm going to do this.
I think both. I have two approaches of engineering. One is I want to build what I have in mind, so that starts with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And second is I like to freestyle, and it's more like sketching with paper, trying to see what happens when you combine mechanisms. And from that point, sometimes you get something you can say, it's a car, or it's a boy with a cap on, or. So from some abstract mechanisms develop into something with an illustration or a subject. That's so two types of approaching a project. This one is freestyling, and the other is building what you have in mind. Second one is a little bit harder because you start with rules. You want to make something. So like the piano, for example.
Yeah, we'll share a link to this piano that you built. And I would say that took several weekends, maybe.
Yeah, that was several and more. When a project get out of hand, I can also offer a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night, so to say. This piano took me like 2 weeks, I think, and it was an intense build to.
Uh-huh.
But when you get the feeling it's going somewhere, it's hard to let go. So
right. So with that one, you had the idea that you wanted to build a pop-up piano.
Yeah, yeah.
That and played music that you could, right?
It works.
It
right.
Works, yeah.
It's maybe good to put this in perspective, but the basic technique of this piano is a game system by Nintendo. It's called the Nintendo Switch. You can take off the controllers and do funny stuff with these controllers. They have all kind of functions like an infrared camera and vibration motors or sensors. And one of the products that Nintendo made themselves is the product called Labo. It's Labo.
Okay.
Nintendo Labo. And what they have are these cardboard builds. You can build yourself. So you get a box with flat cardboard stock sheets, and you can build out a piano out of that. That's what Nintendo did. And so when I was building this thing, because it was fun to, it triggered me right away because it had paper involved and there was engineering involved. So it's really a nice product. And when I built this piano, I recognized some shapes that I thought maybe these can be converted into pop-up mechanisms. And the piano itself is pretty much a box pop-up, so that's really basic.
Right.
And all I had to do is build this box and add all those functionalities to it. And I started with the keyboard. It was the main functionality, and didn't expect for me to get it to work, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, I started to add functionalities one by one, and it all worked. It all went great. I made push buttons that are, I think, really unique for pop-ups. They're really working push buttons with springs of paper. It's all 100% paper.
Uh-huh.
Also, there's a waveform scanner. It's a bit of an abstract story, but when you see the video, you'll get my point. But you can cut out your own waveform, and the camera in the controller that fits into the piano that scans the waveform, and when you play the piano, it uses that. It's all great. It's really fun to do.
So you integrated the parts that came with the Nintendo into your paper engineering.
Yeah. The functionalities, not the parts. So I sort of backward engineered it into a pop-up. Mm-hmm. That's best, I think, the best way to describe it. Yeah.
Right. And I know a lot of paper engineers, just speaking of that backwards engineering or reverse engineering, take pop-up books apart to see how they work. Do you do that? Or do
no.
you?
No.
You don't. They're too precious.
No, I don't. Yeah, they're too precious. And also, I like to, you have different ways of learning pop-up techniques. One of it is indeed to take apart a book and study it and build it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go through that challenge myself a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I like it more. You won't see maybe a couple, but most of my pop-ups, I really try to involve, not involve, but I try to create techniques or combinations myself. So. I think it's safe to say that most of my builds aren't based on copies, or maybe the base techniques for sure. That's for sure. But I don't take apart books.
Okay.
One thing that may help me a lot in getting a good insight in how everything works is we did over 80 videos for our YouTube channel.
Right.
I've captured those all. I've seen them in close up. We've repeated captured shots, different angles. I've done all the editing. So every minute you see like 5 or 10 times.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's also good to develop some insight in how stuff works.
Sure.
It helps, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You see something, you're like, oh, that's similar to that. Or, oh, that's how they did that. Or that's
right.
That other thing. Yeah, that you
I've seen. I think I've seen weeks and weeks for video material. So it's more like, it's already sort of in my head, and that's also a base to work with, I guess.
Right. And what about the paper? What kind of paper do you like to use?
I know that you have a different system in the United States. We call it grams because it's grams mm-hmm. per square meter.
Right.
So I use in European standard, I'm not even sure if that's correct, but I use like 160 up to 200 grams.
Right. So a cover weight, and you're just buying packs?
Yeah, we have these packs with 500 sheets, and mm-hmm. they're like $8, euros, dollars, doesn't matter. But they, it's really, when I first started to make templates, I thought the paper had to be really heavy. But that's one of the best steps I took was to use lighter paper, so you can build more complex mechanisms. Because heavy paper has the tension to be strong or heavy. So when something has to flap out or be a lightweight mechanism, it's really hard to accomplish that with like 250 or 300 grams paper.
Right. And so I asked you to contribute a project to my upcoming book, which doesn't have a title yet. It's still a long ways off, but the theme of the book is things made out of one sheet of paper. Can you describe that mechanism a little bit? It's this cool curve mechanism.
Yeah.
And we'll see. People might have to wait for the book to see it in action, but let's see how we do describing it.
Yeah, I like to call it the curved flip mechanism.
Right.
And this curved technique, it's more, I like the organic shape and behavior of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more to describe it, it's a platform that moves in a flipping motion, and a curved spring creates this movement. And when you have two connections on the paper and one is short and one is long but folded in, they are just connected fine, and you open the page and it starts to curl up because there's the distance
tension,
between
yeah
there's tension, and the distance between the connection points changes because you open it up. It's a bit technical, but the curved flip mechanism is a base mechanism I designed a little bit by accident by studying a pop-up in the Cars pop-up book, the Pixar pop-up book by Matthew Reinhardt. And it's a Pixar pop-up book with all movies have their own mini pop-up inside of the page.
Okay.
And one of these pop-ups had a car that was flipping over, and I tried to bring that back to a more basic mechanism, and also discovered that this curve had this nice usage, and gave a nice movement to the page opening. It's one of these mechanisms. When you see it in real, it's like, it's surprising. You start to look at it a second time. How does it work? What happens here? So,
right. Yeah. I have to go back and study it, because I know you sent me the template and I created it, and it wasn't hard to create, but to invent it is a whole nother thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. I may be lucky to by accident invent it. It's hard to credit this as my invention, because it's also based, like every pop-up technique.
Sure.
It all goes back to the 18th century, so right. to say. But we all get inspired from each other's work, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one development or evolution out of another mechanism.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So what are you working on now? Both Best Pop-Up Books and your own.
Right. Yeah. I have plans to make a book one day, not to publish, but to make a book one day, more like a challenge. And I'm collecting ideas. I already have some basic designs of these pop-ups. I would like to call it, for now, working title is Most Adventurous Summer Vacation Ever. And it's about two kids who have these adventures, and it's a great subject because it gives me the opportunity to make some very nice scenes, like roller coasters or a camping or a sailboat in the ocean and that kind of stuff. But it's a long-term project, because I know how much work it is to trace everything, to make your die lines, nesting sheets, artwork, storytelling. So this might be a project that I'm working on for the next few years. And anything else, I'll continue freestyling, building pop-ups.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you say you're going to make that book and you're going to create all the die lines and everything, did you say you weren't going to publish it?
No, I don't want to publish it.
Okay.
I really want to make it. It's funny how things go on the internet. If it gets a lot of attention and good feedback, you can also always decide to publish it, or maybe do a crowdfund campaign on Kickstarter. But right now I just want to be comfortable with the project.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And
so,
what's the next?
No pressure.
Next, do you have a video coming up soon on Best Pop-Up Books?
Yeah, we're making plans to make a review about Matthew Reinhardt's Star Wars book.
Okay.
And we also want to review the How to Train a Dragon book. It's by James Diaz.
Uh-huh.
And we have a very beautiful Moby Dick. It's more like a peak. No, it's a layered layered scene book.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how to explain it. But anyway, we've got some books on our list.
Uh-huh.
And making these videos takes a lot of time, like three days of work, of capturing and editing and publishing and creating the page
right.
and the website. So, yeah, it's for us to find time and also a right moment to make a good video. So we prefer to make lesser videos that are good quality than
right.
a lot of videos that are crappy. So, yeah.
And these might be out by the time this episode gets published, because this won't come out for a couple of months. So.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we always pay a lot of attention to Halloween and Christmas. So that's our peak on the channel. So there will be some new videos anytime soon. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so the main site for Best Pop-Up Books is bestpopupbooks.com. And then how do people, what's the best website or link to see your work, your piano and other?
Right, I think on YouTube, I'm there when you look for Paper Paul, like
Paper Paul.
One name. You will find me and also on Instagram, but the name was already gone. So I used for Instagram paperpaul01.
Okay, and we'll put those links in the show notes so people can find them.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on Paper Talk and giving us a little insight into your world of pop-ups.
Thank you. It was fun for me to talk about. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
This wraps up our episode, and if you enjoyed it, I invite you to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And it would be awesome if you could leave a review over on iTunes. This helps others find out about the podcast. Special thanks to Gary A. Hansen for the sound editing and Peter Thomas for the music. Visit HelenHebertStudio.com and click on Paper Talk, where you can read the show notes, subscribe to this series, listen to other episodes, and access all of the archived shows. Talk to you soon.
There's a reason besides the season, the main contain.